Welcome to Kadampa Podcasts. These podcasts offer practical solutions to daily challenges and help guide us to a happier and more peaceful state of mind. In each episode, you will find an extract from a teaching given by one of various Kadampa Buddhist teachers worldwide. All these teachings are inspired by the profound wisdom of Venerable Geshe Kalsang Gyatso Rinpoche, a Buddhist master for our time. We hope you will enjoy listening.
Okay, the name of the class tonight is Patience, Karma, and Purification. So most of the course has been about merit or good fortune, and then we'll briefly kind of dip into the opposite, which is negative karma or misfortune, and the role of patience in that purification of that negativity. And the book that I'll read it from briefly is called How to Solve Our Human Problems. Many of you know it very well. I think it's one of the most important chapters in any of Geshe-la's books is the chapter Learning to Accept Suffering. I think the inability to accept suffering is one of the problems that if we solved would just lead to so much mental health throughout the universe. And a lot of our problems come because we just can't bear to endure any painful feelings, and so we develop all kinds of maladaptive and destructive habits to get away from those painful feelings. And then we get more painful feelings because we're running away from them and repressing them and trying to mask them and do stuff to not feel them. And then that just doesn't work. And the painful feelings keep coming in life after life after life. The practice of patient acceptance, and in particular, learning to accept suffering, the namesake of the chapter, is just such a beautiful kind of noble enterprise and, predicated upon the understanding that the only way through suffering is through it. You have to feel it. And then ironically, if we allow ourselves to experience the mental pain that we're going through, a lot of times it kind of goes away. And it's very, probably many of us have had this experience where you're kind of hiding from something for a long time and you finally admit it or you're honest about it or you decide to bite the bullet and just sit with it. And yeah, it's uncomfortable for a little bit, but it doesn't kill you. And then you're like, oh, actually, that wasn't so bad. And you feel kind of better having admitted it or breathed through it or just experienced the karma and letting it ripen. So in any event, there's a section in here that we look at fairly often, page 42 to 43. Usually we go through to 44, but tonight we're just going to do 42 to 43. It's the analogy of the sky, and all of this is going to kind of be tied into the meditation that you just did on the wood, and we'll kind of bring these together. What you just did, you just got some experience of the wood meditation, and then we'll see how it relates to these words. I mean, it's a different analogy. It's a sky analogy, but it'll tie in. So Geshe-la writes, just as there is room in the sky for a thunderstorm, so there is room in the vast space of our mind for a few painful feelings. And just as a storm has no power to destroy the sky, so unpleasant feelings have no power to destroy our mind. When painful feelings arise in our mind, there's no need to panic. We can patiently accept them, experience them, and investigate their nature and where they come from. When we do this, we will discover that painful feelings do not come to us from outside, but arise from within our own mind. Circumstances or other people have no power to make us feel bad. The most they can do is trigger the potentials for painful feelings that already exist within our own mind. Okay, so there's so much in these few sentences. Sometimes people use this word a lot now, trigger. Like, there's like trigger warnings and you trigger me and I'm so triggered by you. And, so that's an interesting word, and Geshe-la uses it. When we have painful feelings or there's a circumstance that we don't like or with somebody, it's saying they actually don't have the power to make us feel bad. What they can do, and it's the most that they can do, is trigger something in us. They can trigger something inside of us. What are they triggering? they're triggering negative potentials, which is the opposite of merit. So you've got a bunch of merit in your mind, which are positive potentials, and that can be activated or triggered. That can be activated by, I mean, from a sensory point of view, if you, anyway, just think of like a milkshake or something, that can trigger some merit to ripen as pleasure on your tongue. So the milkshake, you tasted it, and through your tongue awareness, there was some pleasure. You experienced some pleasure. The milkshake was the trigger. The potentials were inside of you. That's your merit ripening as pleasure via the medium of your tongue. The pleasure isn't coming from the milkshake. It's coming from your merit. And that's a very helpful thing to know. Because we just can't help it. We always think that the good feeling is coming from the thing, the object. And this is how addiction happens. And Buddha's saying something very subtle. He's saying, actually, that's not the main reason you feel pleasure. The main reason you feel good is because of the merit or good karma in your consciousness. And that's triggered by that object, that person, place, or thing. Well, this is just coming at that from the opposite angle. If there are bad feelings in your mind, that's coming from inside of you too. That's your negative karma being triggered by that person, place, or thing. So the most they can do is trigger the potentials for painful feelings that already exist within our own mind. These potentials or karmic imprints are the residue of the negative actions we created in the past, which we performed because our mind was under the control of delusions, all of which stem from self-grasping ignorance. By patiently accepting painful feelings without clinging to them, the negative karmic potentials from which they arose are purified and we'll never have to experience that karma again. Okay, so the last line there, you know, someone criticizes you, you have a backache, you're feeling kind of uncomfortable, there's some other kind of mental pain of anxiety or worry or, you know, just some painful feeling happening in your mind because of circumstances, criticism of the people, situations in your life. So the last sentence, by patiently accepting painful feelings, accepting them without clinging to them or running away from them or repressing them or trying to eat them away or busy them away, but just patiently accepting them, what happens is those potentials are purified and it's gone. And it's actually one of the most fundamental ways to purify your mind is patient acceptance. And there's more kind of elaborate ways of purifying that we've taught in previous classes. If you remember the four opponent powers of reliance, regret, opponent force, and promise, some of you heard that teaching. That's a more kind of systematic purification practice. But this is like the beginning of really clean. This is the beginning of spiritual practice is patient acceptance. It's the beginning of actually progressing spiritually is learning to accept what is in your mind, in your life. And these few sentences that I just read are really gold for a spiritual practitioner. And they kind of reveal themselves more and more over the years. So, with that, I wanted to tie it into the wood meditation. And also just to say, you can really see it as a gift or an opportunity when those potentials are triggered. So a very helpful way to set things up is when you kind of, let's say your mind is in a nice space right now, or just like at least a neutral space. There's not a lot of hopefully anger or real cravey attachment, or you're not very upset right now. Your mind is in a nice, relatively balanced state. But then tonight when you go home, something happens, or tomorrow at work or whatever, something happens, and your mind gets tight. We use the word grasping in our tradition, but like, which is a nice word because it's kind of evocative of what's happening. Your mind is kind of clinging and shouldn't be this way, or how could they do this? But you get tight. And we all know that mental feeling of getting tight. They're sort of being chilled out and happy, relaxed. And then there's the mind getting tight. The mind getting tight is an indication that there's some delusion in the mind. What happens when the mind gets deluded is you pay inappropriate attention, and that's experienced as getting narrow and tight. You're exaggerating something or dwelling on something in a way that's unhelpful, and your mind shrinks, your world shrinks. Like that poor person, you know, whatever they're yelling about is probably like one idea that they're stuck on, and who knows what it is, but they don't have like a balanced awareness, like, oh, how lovely, a Buddhist temple, and oh, what a nice sign, and oh, they just said that, okay, that wasn't very nice, no, it's a lovely evening. It's not like there's one thing that annoyed them, but then there's many other things appearing in the field of their awareness. It's only whatever they're angry about that's appearing to their mind. And the same with us. When we're attached or angry, our mind narrows onto that thing, we exaggerate its importance, we exaggerate our importance, and then we're stuck. But that can be a really instructive experience. And what we can learn to do is to welcome when it arises, to think, ah, good, this is really juicy. My mind is getting tight. What's going on? What's happening in me? And I remember hearing this once, this kind of like, if you imagine your consciousness is like a field, which we sometimes do, when you are feeling triggered, it's almost like that. At that point, you need to take a stake and put it right there. It's like, dig here. Ooh, this is interesting. Dig here. It's like those, thinking of like the cartoons. So they dig here, you dig down, you find the gold. Same thing in your mind. It's like when you're kind of getting tight about something, be more like a scientist. Like, oh, this is very interesting. What's going on? Why am I reacting like this? And most people don't necessarily go there very deeply. It's like, well, because, you know, they're an idiot, because this isn't fair, or whatever. It's just, I feel this way because they did this, and that's the end of the analysis. The word Buddhist means inner being, and the idea is that you're much more fascinated by the inner world than all the nonsense that's appearing to your mind. And you're like, motivated to look, well, what in me is being triggered, and why do I feel this way? How are these potentials being triggered in my mind? And there's always some delusion around that. There's always some exaggeration. And sometimes it takes a little bit of time to learn about your mind and what attachment is and what anger is and what jealousy is. And you can study it in the books, and you'll hear it here in the classes over time. But even just the process of being interested in that reaction and trying to do what we just read, trying not to react or trying to accept the feeling and experience it and investigate the feeling in your mind instead of the situation or circumstance. And maybe you need to sort out that circumstance as a problem at work and you got to deal with it or whatever. But from a practice point of view, and maybe you can't do it on the spot either. Let's say tomorrow you go to work and you're in a neutral space, you're like doing your thing, and then somebody says something. You don't get credit for some work that you've been working on for a long time, or someone belittles you or whatever it is, and you get tight. Maybe you just need to kind of power through it because you're in a meeting or you have to get on with your day, accomplish stuff. But then when you go home that night, that's very helpful practice to get into, to have a day assessment and go back and reassess your day. We'll probably look at this in the last class of the course. It's called, there are two activities, one at the beginning, one at the end. In the beginning, you start with a good intention. At the end, you dedicate. And in between, you try to practice mindfulness. And at the end of the day, you see how you did. And you just look back at your day and you're like, yeah, when I was at work and that thing happened, I got kind of triggered. I got triggered or whatever. I kind of got tight. What was going on there? And you just have a little bit of time to maybe recreate the scenario, maybe even refeel the feelings, but from a different space of just noticing the feelings and allowing them to kind of work their way through.
If you feel inspired by this podcast, then dive deeper into timeless wisdom of modern Kadampa Buddhism by following the link in the episode description. We look forward to reconnecting with you in the next episode of Kadampa Podcasts.